Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you, or I have called you by name. That's what it'll say in some versions. I have summoned you. You are mine. Then I want you to read verse number 18. It says, forget the former things, nor consider the things of old, or in the, this is a New International Version, the NIV, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Say, do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. See. Or in some versions, it'll say generally in the King James Version or the New King James Version, it'll say, behold. The word will be behold. Right? There's it. It says behold. Or see. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Or do you not see it? Or do you not know it? It shall spring forth. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I'm making a way or a road away in the wilderness, that is the wasteland. Say there'll be a way in the wasteland. A way in the wasteland. Streams in the desert. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So this is the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is an amazing book because people reading this book, Isaiah, did some strange things. George Frederick Handel. How many of you know George Frederick Handel? George Frederick Handel, my favorite classical musician is Handel, right? Handel is famous for one particular masterpiece. If you ever get the chance, listen to Handel's. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Handel's what? It's called Messiah. One day when I die, remember this. I'm saying it publicly. When I die one day, you will play Handel's Messiah. Because Handel's Messiah talks about victory. It talks about a way in the wasteland. It talks about springs where there is no water. It talks about victory in the midst of defeat. It talks about resurrection, even if you don't know about it. Are you listening? So one day when I die, I want Handel's Messiah being played. There the whole world will know who Jesus is. He is the only Messiah. No matter what I have done, no matter what I have accomplished, Jesus, the Messiah, is greater than all of our achievements and accolades all put together, because there is only one Messiah. And so, George Friedrich Handel, the way he wrote the Messiah, how do you know the way he wrote the Messiah? When he was reading the book of Isaiah. Isn't that amazing? If you read the book, music can come to you. A sense of music that will impact the nations and for centuries to come. People will study Handel's Messiah. He got it from reading the book of Isaiah. How many of you heard of Martin Luther King Jr.? Martin Luther King Jr. influenced my life while I was growing up. When I was a little boy, I listened to Martin Luther King. I didn't listen to him once. I listened to him many times, over and over and over, read a lot of his work. One time, I even thought I was Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, if you listen to his speeches and all of his sermons, the dominant voice in those speeches and their sermons came from the book of Isaiah. When Martin Luther talked about a voice in the wilderness, it came from the book of Isaiah. When Martin Luther King talked about swords being turned into plowshares, it came from this book, the book of Isaiah. This is an amazing piece of literature. It's an amazing book. It's an amazing prophetic piece of writing if you take the time to read it, meditate on it, and study it. But this morning, I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about a new season this morning. I'm talking about God doing a new thing. A new season brings new grace. And this is what it says when it starts off in the book of Isaiah chapter 43. It says, but now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Somebody say, fear not. I want to say to you very clearly, quickly this morning, that if God is going to do a new thing in your life, if a new thing is going to be evident in your life, if a new thing is going to manifest in your life, if a new thing is going to appear in your life, then the one thing that you have to stop doing is stop fearing. God can't do anything new. New grace can't come to you if old fears are dominating you. Are you listening? You have to do something special. Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Because up front here, right at the beginning, he says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 1, he gives an instruction. He gives a command. Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are what? You are mine. Listen, no matter who you are, where you come from, how you grew up, what the circumstances of your birth, how much you're worth now, what the color of your skin, what's the hair color, whether you have clothes, don't have clothes, whether you have a house, don't have a house, what the kind of car you drive, it really doesn't really matter when you know Christ. Because he says, I have redeemed you. One, two, I have called you, and I have called you by name. This is the Lord of the universe, the master of all masters. He says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. That is why, fear not. Everybody's okay? Say, fear not. Fear not. Fear not, because I have redeemed you. I have called you. I have summoned you. And I have called you by name. Fear not. Fear is an amazing thing. Fear is an amazing thing. That word fear, there is a common word in the Old Testament. There's a common Hebrew word in the Old Testament. There are many words for fear in the Old Testament. But there is one common Hebrew word in the Old Testament. It's the word Y-I-R-A-H, ira, which means fear. That word fear there is ira, fear. This means, this fear terrifies you. This fear will paralyze you. This fear will alienate you. This fear will ostracize you. This fear will cripple you. How many of you are listening to me this morning? God is saying to you this morning through his word, fear not. Don't be alienated. Don't be alienated from each other. Fear will cause that to happen. Don't be ostracized by God. Fear will cause that to happen. Don't be disconnected from God. Fear will cause that to happen. Fear not. Are you listening to me this morning? Somebody shout, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. Fear will ultimately confuse you. Any person who has fear Confusion reigns. You don't know if you're coming or you're going. You don't know whether you're in or out. You don't know whether you're here or there. Or, there's one thing, no offense to anybody's names, yeah? You don't know if you're Martha or Arthur. So it's not a... When fear comes, you're not in a cool place. It'll trap you. It'll oppress you. It will ridicule you. It will, I gave you all these things, paralyze you, ostracize you. It will alienate you. Ultimately, it will fossilize you. Are you listening? It will fossilize you. If you look at the fossils, you know, if you look at Jurassic Park, you know why you have Jurassic Park? Those animals had fear. Fear. They didn't. They failed to move to a new season. They died in the last season. Are you listening? You get fossilized. You have monuments. I don't want a monument over my grave, because Jesus lives. Even when you die, when you have no fear, it's a new season. New grace comes to you because you're with Jesus. It's a new season. Are you listening to me this morning? It's a new season. So, in this life and the life to come, we have to learn to let go of fear. Let go of fear. Fear of the known, fear of the unknown, fear of this, fear of that, fear of what somebody said, fear of this book you read. Some people read one book, see a DVD, see this video, you watch TV. Fear grips you. And in our country right now, there's fear right across this country. One fellow, he wrote a book the other day. What's his name? It's called President's Keepers. There's fear. How we know there's fear? In Hyde Park, there was a launch. Somebody sabotaged the electricity. Fearful people. This country is going to the greatest fear it's ever had. We're fearing the future. December is coming. We don't know what the rand to the dollar will be. They keep giving us the statistics. 27% of employable people in this nation are unemployed. The stats on murders, rapes, gang violence, this, that, every housebreaking is all going up. Fear. Fear mongers exist. Their job is to put fear into us because they know what fear does. Fear will paralyze you. You won't even go to vote. When it's voting day, you'll be, no, if I go there, ayo, kadavale, they might shoot me. Because somebody might know who I am voting for. Fear. Fear, you have to learn to let go of fear. Change is always uncomfortable. But we are on a journey of faith. Some say we are on a journey of faith. We are on a journey of faith. We are pilgrims. We are passing through and we are passing to. We are passing through this life, but we are going somewhere. We're just not going anywhere. Our journey is taking us to Christ. Christ is the one at the end of the journey. If you meet Satan at the end of the journey, that's a bad place to be. You're on the wrong road. At the end of my road, at the end of your road, I want you to meet Christ. Whatever, wherever that unfolds. Because he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and he'll be the end. So we're on a journey to Christ. Whatever that happens. And so if we are pilgrims and we are on a journey, we cannot hold on to fear. We cannot choose the Egyptian past. Brothers and sisters, we cannot choose a Babylonian past. This particular text, this particular book of Isaiah was written while the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity. And they sang the song. Bonihem was singing. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. How many of you all remember the song? And they were saying, how can we sing the Lord's song, what? In a strange land. You can't even sing when you're in Babylonian captivity. You can't sing in a strange land because you are in bondage. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will ridicule you. Fear will mock you. Fear will ostracize you. Fear will alienate you. Ultimately, fear will fossilize you. It'll kill you. You can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Brothers and sisters, you can't choose the Egyptian past. You can't choose the Babylonian past. We have to choose God's now and God's future. Are you listening to me? We have to choose God's now and God's future. His now will take you into his future. When we reject God's new thing, the Bible says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah 43 and verse number 18 and 19. When we choose not to have God's new thing, we are in a place of disobedience. We're in a posture of disobedience. And I want to say to you very, very clearly, if you are in disobedience, it's called sin. When you disobey God, it's called sin. When God unveils something new, you say, bugger it. You insult God, you insult grace, you're in disobedience, you're in rebellion, therefore you're in sin. Brothers and sisters, I tell you this morning, let God be God. Let God be God. Let me say it one more time. Let God be God. You cannot contain him. You cannot stop him. You cannot resist him. You cannot prescribe to him. Because God is constantly and continually and consistently doing new things. I thought that was a good place for you to shout amen. He does new things because he is God. He keeps doing new things. To us it's new, to him it's just God. Are you listening? Because Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. Listen, let me tell you a new thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we know the text. I learned the text when I was in Sunday school. It says, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a what? A new creation. What has happened? The old has passed. What has come? The new has come. I told you God keeps doing new things. I am a living personification of a new thing. Because the old in me passed and the new came. Listen, I couldn't stand up and talk to people. I told you this before. I had a stammering tongue. I would be stammering. I'd be stuttering. In fact, my knees would be having fellowship with each other. That's how serious I'll be. But listen, you are seeing me here stand and talk to you. Some of you have seen me almost for the last 30 years do this in Benoni. Listen to me. I am a living demonstration that God can take a nobody, a useless idiot, and cause him to speak with the highest level of communication. I can't do this on my own. Only God can do it. Because God does new things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old has gone. The same thing that Isaiah 43:18 is saying. Do not go back to the former things. Because I am doing a new thing. Behold. The word behold, when you see the word behold anywhere in the Bible, it means, hey, listen, get up from your sleep. Get up from your slumber. See what God is doing. We beg of you, see what God is doing. See what God is doing. Behold, right? Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, the last book in the Bible. If you don't believe me so far, It even says in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21:5. It says, and I, the Lord, says, I make all things new. All things new. Listen, God just does new things. This is his, it's in his nature to do new things. We cannot choose exile and bondage, whether it's Babylonian exile or Egyptian bondage. We cannot choose exile or bondage over God's new thing. We must not. We cannot. If you are a true, authentic, spirit-led, you cannot choose Babylonian exile or Egyptian bondage. You walk into God's new thing. You walk into God's new favor. You walk into God's new door. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. How many of you know 2 Timothy 1:7? 2 Timothy 1:7. And you know the text. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God's, I want you to say God. Terrible. I don't know what you're fearful for. Say God. Has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Then if God is not giving you that fear, it begs the question. Who is giving you that fear? Listen, this is the, don't go home and say he's making it up. I am telling you it's in the text. If you don't, you read in your own Bible. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us. That means God has not given me, God has not given you, or any other person on the planet a spirit of fear. God has not given that. That word fear in the New Testament, that word there, fear in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, is the Greek word ekphobos, which means frightened out of one's senses. Ekphobos. Phobos is the word phobia. We all know the word phobia. You have different kinds of phobias, right? I don't know in Brazil you have phobias. You'll have a lot? Why? Must cast it out, man. Okay. Listen, you have different kinds of fears, and we give it lovely names. Like, if you have a fear of spiders, some people have a fear of spider. I see a spider, I kill it. Because it may be that black widow. Then I don't want to become, you know, I don't want to die. So you see a spider, kill it. But you can have the fear of spiders, far as the last time I knew, is arachnophobia. Hey, some of you are too sharp, eh? Arachnophobia. Or some of you have fear of spaces. It is what? Hey, y'all are very, looks like there's a lot of fears here, man. It's here, man. It's here also, Pastor. It's here, not only in Brazil, but your country is bigger. Y'all have more fear. Yeah. And y'all got the Amazon there. That anaconda and piranha and everything. Yeah. So listen. Ekphobos. God has not given us ekphobos. Say, God has not given me ekphobos. I'm not frightened out of my sense. This is what fear does. It frightens you out of your senses. That means you're no more sensible. You're not sensible anymore because you're out of your senses. You're terrified. You're turning different colors. You know, some of they say, his face went to a white. Now, they're not talking about you. They're talking about me. Because I am this color, I only can go another color. Dean, they can't say about Dean that. You are a little light skin. I think you go like tomato. You become. Right. Listen. Listen to me now. I want you to listen to me. Who gives the fear? If God is not the source of fear, if God has not given you the fear, who's giving you the fear? Somebody has to give you the fear. Are you making it up yourself? No, you can't. You're not making it up yourself too. It comes from a source. The source is evil. Evil can track you. Listen. Listen to me. Evil forces, demonic forces can track you. They're not all-knowing. They're not bigger than God. God has no opposition. God has no rival. God has no competitor. But evil forces have been long on the planet and they are networked. They can talk to each other. They can tell. They can have a conversation. Hey, Ronald, you know he doesn't like Katrika. He doesn't have brinjal, eggplant. He doesn't have that. What we'll do in the night, we'll bring a giant eggplant, put it in front of him in his dream. Do you understand? Then you see it here, you get all upset. Fear comes. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You see, demonic forces have been on the earth for long enough. And they are networked. So, they're talking to each other. Those in the old age home, in the rocking chair, you get retired demons also. They're talking to new guys. They're mentoring. It's a mentoring process. They talk to each other. See, I know. I heard the conversation once. He doesn't like brinjal. Send that brinjal to him. He'll be fearful. Are you listening? Fear has a source. What I'm saying to you, fear has a source. It comes from the devil. The devil is the mastermind of fear. It doesn't come from God. Whatever fear you have of confusion, I don't know if I'm here or I'm there. I don't know if I'm going or I'm coming. I don't know if to be. Oh, sometimes we say it like Shakespeare said it. To be or not to be. We don't know. You think you're Shakespearean. But you are fearful, man. You're trapped. You're trapped by this thing called fear. And it's not from Shakespeare. The fear is not from Shakespeare. The fear is from the devil and his minions. They manufacture, they invent this thing. And they bring it to you because according to 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want you to say it one more time. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Brothers and sisters, Satan is the ultimate deceiver, is the ultimate accuser. The scriptures say he's the accuser of the brethren. He's a deceiver. He's deception. He's the very incarnate demonstration of deception. He's a deceiver. He'll deceive you. He'll come as an angel of light, but he's deceiving you. Not everything as an angel of light is from God, because he's a roaring lion. Sometimes he's an angel of light. You won't know. Sometimes he's a roaring lion. You get scared, you run away. But if he's an angel of light, you entertain him. You give him food. You give him your ears. You give him your sight. You give him. You're singing that song to him. Lord, I give you my heart. And then fear comes in. Then you're confused. Hey, I don't know whether I'm in or out. I don't know whether I'm yes or no. I don't know to be or not to be. I don't know whether I'm up or down. Fear. It'll paralyze you. It'll paralyze you. It'll disconnect you from God. It'll disconnect you from your brothers and sisters. It'll disconnect you from your spiritual family. It'll disconnect you from your spiritual father. It'll disconnect you ultimately from your destiny in God. It'll disconnect you from your God-ordained future. That's what fear will do. It'll just disconnect you. You'll be there, but you're not there. I am me, but I'm not me. Because fear has paralyzed you. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not what? To your own understanding. Trust, that's why we have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. When you trust in the Lord with all of our heart, fear leaves. Because you don't lean on your own understanding. Our wisdom, no matter you got a PhD, 10 PhDs, how smart you are, is not really matters. Because the wisdom of the Lord, the wisdom from Christ, the wisdom of the ages is in Christ. And that's what matters. His wisdom over our understanding. Romans 8:15. If we can put it on the screen. It says Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we can cry, Abba, Father. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again. Okay, let's read from the NKJV. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have received the spirit of sonship. Come on now, when you say we have received the spirit of sonship. The spirit of adoption is the spirit of sonship. I want you to shout, spirit of sonship. No, that's not good enough. I want you to shout, spirit of sonship. We have received the spirit of sonship. How? By the process of adoption. We are all adopted. Say, we are all adopted. You know, like how we talk sometimes, hey, this was not my bro, he's adopted. That's why his behavior is like that. Listen, we are all adopted. You know, some people only know they were adopted on the day of the funeral. Everybody's talking. Don't tell everybody. He's adopted. He didn't know. We are all adopted. I am adopted also. I am adopted because we are adopted into the family of God. We were alienated. We were orphaned, far from God, disconnected, displaced, bound by fear. And then Jesus comes. He removes our sin. He takes the fear away. Because I have redeemed you, Isaiah 43. And I have called you by name. And you are mine. Possessive. Possession. And then we get adopted into his family. The family of God. We become his own. Now we are his sons. The Bible doesn't say daughters. But in sons is inclusive of daughters. The Bible is never, ever sexist. I wanted to let you know that. The Bible is never sexist. It's always inclusive. So we are sons and daughters. We are princes and princesses. How many say we are princes and princesses? We are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. Brothers and sisters, it's normal to have doubts. It's normal we go through life with uncertainties. It's normal. Listen, I don't want you to get to a place now where you think, oh, when I said maybe, oh wait, I'm thinking through it. It's normal to have doubts. All of us do. But our doubts and our uncertainties must not dictate or overwhelm our journey in Christ. You cannot permit, you cannot approve for your doubts and your maybes and your uncertainties to dictate, determine, overwhelm your journey in Christ to Christ. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It's normal to have doubts. It's normal. We are not supermen yet. We're normal, failed people who need Christ every day. But for the grace of God, there goes I. We all can say that. But we cannot allow our doubts to become disobedience. We cannot allow our doubts to override our obedience to Christ and His Word. Our doubts cannot do that. When we do that, we're in a place of sin. We're in a place of confusion. We're in a place of disobedience. And we cannot be disobedient because God wants to move us. God wants to migrate us. He wants to take us to new vistas in God, new vistas in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, there's good news for all of us. If you can overcome your fear, being terrified beyond one's own senses, ek phobos is the Greek word in 2 Timothy 1:7. If you can go beyond that, the good news is this. God is doing new things. Somebody shout new things. There are new mountains to climb. Are you listening? There are new mountains to climb. Somebody say new mountains to climb. There are new mountains to climb. And I tell you, I'm fascinated with mountains. I am fascinated with mountains. I've seen most movies with mountains. Because mountains fascinate me. I don't know what it is, but it fascinates me. Brothers and sisters, there are new mountains to climb. Your last mountain is very low. There are higher mountains to climb. Are you listening? There are more treacherous mountains. There are more mountains to climb. Caleb, at what age was Caleb? 80. Caleb at 80 was willing to do an Everest. Are you listening? Come on, now you listen to me. Caleb at 80 years old, he says, give me this mountain. 80 years old. And you are 35. You are retreating. You are going back. Oh, I like the garlic of Egypt. I like the houses in Babylon. No, you can't go back. There's no time to retreat. Whatever your age, whether you're 2 years old or 200 years old, there are new mountains to climb. Give me this mountain. That's what Caleb says at the age of 80. How many of you are 80 here this morning and above 80? Put your hands up. Anybody here in this congregation above 80? What? You put your hand up, ma'am. Your hand is up. What's your age now, Auntie Sessa? What? You're 80. When you was 80? Hey, how we missed Auntie Sessa's birthday? Oh, that's why. Hey, happy birthday, Auntie Sessa. Bless you. Give me a nice hug. Sure.
Thanks.
See you on your 100. Nice. Sure. Auntie Sessa is 80. Sure. And I know Auntie Subbu, you're going to be... Hey, you are 81, huh? Right. In December, so somebody else is having birthdays in December. Right, okay. Listen, even if you are Auntie Sessa's age, your attitude must be, give me this mountain. Are you listening? You're not going to see a mountain and say, are you a Kadavala? I can't do that. Eh? I can't do it. Leave it to younger people like Pastor. Thank you for the compliment. Hey, well, if nobody gives you compliments, you just give yourself. No, listen. Even if you're 80, give me this mountain because there are new mountains to climb. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There are new challenges to meet. There are new challenges. Yesterday's challenge is not going to be like today's challenge. And by today, I'll tell you what, tomorrow's challenge is going to be a brand new one. You ain't seen nothing yet. Tomorrow's challenge is going to be a brand new one. There are new challenges. There are new challenges to meet. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, there are new people to meet, new obstacles to overcome, new places to go, new converts to come to Christ. There are new people. There's a world waiting out there. Are you listening to me? There are 7 billion people waiting out there. If you reduce the world to 100 people, listen to me. If you reduce the world to 100 people. If you reduce the world to a sampling of 100 people, represented of the whole world, 7 billion people, right? If you reduce the world to 100 people, representative of the 7 billion people that are on the planet right now, 67 of the 100 people will not know Jesus. Are you listening to me? 67 of the 100. 20 further of that 100 would be living in extreme poverty. $1 a day. Are you listening? Those people are waiting for you. The 67 people are waiting for somebody who said, I have been called, I have been redeemed, I have been, and God knows my name, and I belong to Him. They are waiting for you to come share hope. They are waiting for you to come and share your faith. They are waiting for you to come and give your love. God has given you all of that. God has given you faith, He's given you hope, and He's given you love. Those 67 people in that sampling of representative of 100 people in the world are waiting on you. Those 20 people that are marginalized, the poorest of the poor, $1 a day. Hey, listen to me, what's $1? The last time I heard that the rand to the dollar, $1 is 14 rand. Are you listening? And you think you're poor. Try living on 14 rands a day. That's 30 times 14. What is that? My maths is useless. I can talk and all that, but my maths is useless. I owe the world. I can't add. How much? 420. 420 rands a month in 30 days. Will you live on 420 rands? Come on, talk to me. Will you live on 420 rands a month? Yes, no. So don't think of yourself poor. There are people that are poorer than you. They are waiting for you to come share your resources. At least if you can share some faith, you can give some hope, and you can give some love, that would be worth millions. How many of you excited? Say amen. Amen. There are new people to know Christ. Come on, can you say with Caleb this morning, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I'm not retreating. I'm not going to say age is my problem. I'm not going to say race is my problem. I'm not going to say education is my problem. I'm just going to say, give me this mountain. Are you listening to me this morning? Give me this mountain. Somebody shout, give me this mountain. Brothers and sisters, God wants to move you to new places in Him. There are new vistas, new places to migrate in Christ, new mountains to climb, new challenges to meet, new obstacles to overcome, new people to know Christ, new places to experience Christ's reforming capacity. We are called here just not to occupy space. We are called to the planet to reform this planet, to make it beautiful for Christ, to make it beautiful for Christ. This month of November, we are celebrating 500 years of Luther's Reformation. You have to thank Luther for so many things. Listen, one of the things you have to thank Luther is because now we know that the just shall live by faith. Up to Luther, when he protested against that rotten Roman Catholic Church then, it was rotten to the core. They were selling indulgences, forgiveness of sins. While this guy was, well, he is a professor at Wittenberg University. He was studying his Bible. He was also a monk. He is reading his Bible over and over. He's seeing what's happening around the church, how the church was commercialized, how the church was wayward, far from where it should be. And he was asking God, what is going on? What is going on? It drove him to the scriptures. In the scriptures, he found Christ. He started reading the Bible. It said, the just shall live by faith. You don't need to go to this man and pay him to have your sins forgiven. Jesus has already forgiven your sins. You understand? It started a revolution, a reformation. You have to thank Luther for something else. What else you have to thank Luther for? Who knows what else? Luther's reformation, you know, prior to Luther, you didn't sing in church. You only had one song. Only the priest was singing. You know the priest was singing? How many of you know that? Only the priest will sing. The congregation never sang. Only the priest will sing. It will be what they call the thing when they sing. How many of you know what you call it? When the priest sings by himself. No, there's a word. I got so excited about the mountain. I forgot about this. It's called something. How many of you know what they... you know in the precinct? And it echoed through the church. Because all these churches are high. You know, it's got... So Gregorian chant. Thank you. It's called the Gregorian chant. The Gregorian chant, when the priest, he sings by himself to the Father and Mary. Right. Only one person was singing. But thank God for Luther. He stood up against that rotten Roman Catholic Church. He told them, we will all sing. Because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. So that's why we all sing today. You have to thank God for Luther. What else you have to thank God for Luther for? Luther gave us the Bible. You know, previously, the Bibles were not in anybody else's hands. It was only in the holy man's hands. Only the priest knew what was there. So he could determine, he could dictate and manipulate the people. When he stood up and spoke, it was God speaking. Because you didn't know what was there. You see, if you didn't have the Bible, and I only had it, you can't verify that Isaiah 43 verses 1, 2, 3 said this. Now you can go and check it. In fact, while I'm talking, you can Google what I say. That's how good it's gone. And you, if you're very smart, you'll see what that word fear means. It means ekphobos. You're frightened out of your senses. You'll understand what the Hebrew in fear says. Hira. In Telugu, they say Yemra. All right. Okay. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And so we have to give thanks to Luther for making the Bible available to the masses. All of us can read it now. It wasn't like that all the time. But if you don't understand change, if you're trapped in your fear, you'll stay in that old place. You don't sing anymore. Because how can you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can't read anymore. You can't communicate anymore because you'll be trapped by your fears. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning that it is no time to retreat, no time to go back, no time to try and go forward looking in your rearview mirror. How many of you try and go forward looking in your rearview mirror? None of us. If it's true in the natural, it'll be true in the spiritual. Take it from me. If it's true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual. All truth is parallel. I want to say to you this morning, a car in park is not going anywhere. Worse, if a car is in reverse, you're not going forward. You're not going about to go anywhere. You're trapped by your own position, because position is everything. Position is everything. Brothers and sisters, old methodologies and old strategies are just that. It's old. They're not relevant anymore. It's irrelevant. How many of you this morning in this congregation that are listening to my voice will now say we don't want computers anymore and you will go back to typewriters and telegrams? How many of you will do that? How many of you will go back to typewriters, telegrams, and telegraphs? In fact, most of you, we called our children and told them, we know when I was young, I used a typewriter. They'll ask, Dad, what's that? No, it's a little machine. It's got that keyboard and it makes ticket, 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 ticket. They'll say, Dad, you must be mad. How many of you go back to telegrams? Telegraphs, trunk calls. How many of you know what a trunk call is? You know what a trunk call is? When I was young, we made trunk calls from Durban to past the Midlands. 110Ks, you had to call. Then the person picks it up. Then the person, you'll have to tell the person, to speak to Freddie. That's my father, my grandfather's name. Freddie Marimoto. Speak to Uncle Freddie. Then you put it down. You'll say, call back in 5 minutes. Then you'll wait. The phone will ring. Kring, kring. There's a nice lady on the phone. Uncle Freddie said, you must call in 5 minutes because he's having a bath. He's just, then call another 5 minutes. Hey, already 20 minutes have gone, waiting for one call. How many of you go back to those days? How many of you go back to the days when y'all didn't have a phone, only the neighbor, only one phone in the whole road? And they'll behave. They'll use that phone as leverage for anything. If they want masala, you can use our phone. They'll take the 2 cups of masala, they won't give it back. They'll even say, hey, we just, as you finish, use the phone, they'll say, hey, we ran short of sugar. You got sugar. Send one 2 cups. You don't know what you're going to do. That's the only phone in the road. Yeah, I know, I was there. There where we live, only one phone there. In the whole road, they only had one phone by the neighbor's house. Everybody would be good to them because, hey, if you're not on bad terms with them, no phone, baby, no phone. Now, I will take my phone one day and see that auntie. I got a mobile phone, iPhone I got. Auntie, somewhere, you got iPhone now. Did you understand? But listen, the point that I want you to understand is, will you go back to typewriters? Will you go back to telegrams? Will you go back to telegraphs? Will you go back to trunk calls? No ways. You are saying, Pastor, you are mad. Where are you even talking about that thing? That thing irritates me. Because we've all had bad experiences with that, if you had that experience. But some of you have never had that experience. Bless you. But also, tough. you are poorer for not having it. Old methodologies and old strategies are just that. They are old. God is doing new things all the time. I want to say to you this morning that past victories cannot stand, cannot sustain future new things. You can't rely on past victories. In this particular context of Isaiah 43, they in Babylonian captivity. What is the thing that they know best? They know how God took them out of Egyptian bondage. They understood in the Egyptian bondage. They understood how they were enslaved. They understood how God supplied by night, by day, how He protected them, how He provided for them. They understood how God opened the Red Sea. But listen, now that you're in Babylonian captivity, you can't go back to past victories because God is about to do a new thing. How many of you are listening to me this morning? You cannot stay on yesterday's victory like you cannot eat yesterday's manna. Because it's worms, man. It's worms. It's got things in it. You cannot eat yesterday's manna. Every day God releases new manna. If God is releasing new manna today, He's doing new things today, why are you worried about yesterday's manna? Why are you so scroungy? Why are you making Father Christmas look like you're making Scrooge look like Father Christmas. God is doing new things. He'll give you new manner. If you desire to remember the past, if you ever desire to remember the past, and there's nothing wrong with that, the only reason we go back to the past, we remember God's help. How He helped us in the past. We remember God's faithfulness in the past. We remember God's commitment in the past. We remember God's goodness in the past. We remember God's mercy in the past. That's the reason we go there. But we don't go there to live there. Because God keeps doing new things. Walking in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, implies new movement in Christ. If those who live by the Spirit, those who walk by the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, God's moving you into new things. Come on, somebody say new things. It means new things. You're walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you don't go like this. Walking in the Spirit is like this, straight to Christ, in Christ. Are you listening to me? Because God is doing new things. Let me get to close. The moment you stop, the presence of God stops. The moment you stop, your fulfillment is restricted. Because new things, brothers and sisters, cannot happen if you choose old things. Cannot happen. New things happen in God's time. God has a plan. God has a purpose. When the new thing came, they were not ready. How I know that? When the new thing, Jesus, came, hey, there was no place in the inn. They were not ready to receive Him. Are you listening to me? They were not ready to receive the new thing. Don't be like that. They said no place in the inn because they were not ready to receive the new thing. Brothers and sisters, new things train us to hear God and help us to see beyond the natural. Train us to see God and help us to see beyond the natural. New things help us to see and hear God. See and hear God. Let me close. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 8. It's a story about Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me tell you the story quickly. Elisha, there's the children of Israel always being attacked. They're attacked by this one king, by this one tribe. And every time this tribe gets ready to attack, Elisha knows about it and he informs his king, they're going to attack now. And they prepare, they foil the attack. Hey, after multiples of times, the king said, hey, there's something wrong. Let's check our nation. There's some spy in this nation. There's a mole. Every time we want to attack the children of God, they know that we're coming, they're prepared, they leave. When we go there, nobody's there. There must be somebody inside of us, somewhere in the nation who's letting the secret out. So they checked everywhere. There's no one in the nation. Then somebody says, it is Elisha. He is the guy, this guy, Elisha, he seems to have some connection that every time we are preparing to attack, he knows about it and he tells his king. So this king says, okay, so what we'll do? Let's go. They put a price on him. They wanted to assassinate him, kill him. So they said one day, let's go. This fella is the cause of all the trouble. Let's go kill him. So they took the whole army, their whole army. Listen, their whole army to kill one person. How many of you think that is very powerful? Yes, no. Yes, it is. It's very powerful. Why you send a whole army to kill one person? So the army comes there. Elisha's servant sees the army. He says thousands and thousands of people surrounding. Elisha's servant goes to him, say, Master, they're going to kill us. They are going to kill us. They're going to kill you. What am I going to do? And Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 13. Let's read there. 2 Kings, if you just stay with me a few moments, it'll be worth your time. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13. Let's quickly read that. The story is, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots, strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Verse number 15, when the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Verse number 16, don't be afraid, the prophet Elijah answered. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Brothers and sisters, Elijah, he prayed a very significant prayer. He didn't say, O Lord, strengthen us. O Lord, protect us. O Lord, give us victory. O Lord, do this or do that. He said, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Open his eyes so that he may see. Brothers and sisters, I want you to get sight this morning. Say sight. I pray that the Lord opens your eyes, that you will see. You will see what? Not see me. You will see Jesus. Because he that is for you is greater than he that is against you. He that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Are you listening? I pray that the Lord open your eyes, that you will see. Because this morning I want to invite you to join with me in a new season, a new start, a new chapter, because God's about to give us new grace. New grace is coming your way. Those of you who connect will get it. For those of you who are in reverse, you'll carry on going in reverse until God someday helps you. This morning, I pray that God will give you sight. What do I see? I see a church mobilized. Are you listening? I see young people, I see old people saying the same thing that Caleb said. Lord, give us this mountain. I see people with new challenges. I see people rising up from their laziness. I see people rising up of their small places. I see people getting up to serve God, getting up to reach our world with the gospel of the good news of hope, of faith and love, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes lives. It can change hearts. It can change a nation. Listen, I'm not fearful of this nation because we belong to a holy nation. We have been redeemed. We've been called by His name. And we belong to Him. I see a church mobilized. This morning as I was having a shower, God gave me a definite, He dropped into my spirit. He said, why can't we raise up a finishing school in this church? You know, how many of you know what a finishing school? I wished I had gone to a finishing school. If I went to a finishing school, I would have been much better with my courtesies. I'd been much better with my the ability to sit at a table. You know, the first time I sat at a table with multiple forks, knives, everything, I didn't know which fork to use. Then the one fellow said, hey, that's a butter knife. See, unless you've gone to a finishing school, you know, when you finish matric, the Lanis, they can go to a finishing school. Go to Switzerland normally. I see a finishing school here. School will raise up young people. They'll become diplomats. They'll become engineers. They'll become CEOs. Who knows, one day, the future president of South Africa is sitting in this congregation. And I don't want to be the president. God has not called me to any other office than the one that I have now. And if this is how I'll be. I'll die preaching. I'll die in my boots. But listen, I know God has put into my spirit that we'll raise up significant people. People that will affect the cause of this nation. People that will affect the cause of the continent. People that will affect the cause of our planet. Listen, I stand in a line of reformers like Jesus, like Luther. Are you listening? I stand in that line. When I speak to you this morning, you may know me for the last 30 years or for the last 6 minutes. But I'm telling you who I am. I stand in a lineage of reformers. And reformers change the world. Not by their own strength, not because of their own wisdom, not because of their own design, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? There's nothing greater than the scripture. There's nothing greater than this word. There's nobody greater than our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? I pray this morning that the Lord will open your eyes, that you will see, you will join with me, and we'll go into a new season and receive new grace. I pray that no one will miss the season. Nobody will miss the season. All of us will see what God is doing. Nobody will miss the visitation of the Lord. No one will miss the comings of the Lord. Jesus keeps coming. One day, we'll see a literal Jesus. Let me tell you that. I believe, contrary to what you may have heard or somebody told you, because I heard recently that I don't believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Listen, I believe in the physical, literal, audible return of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's the hope of glory. Are you listening to me? I believe that, but He keeps coming before that. Where two or three gathered, He comes. When you go into a new season, when you have new challenges, new mountains, new places, new vistas, new converts, new people, Jesus comes. He keeps coming. Are you listening to me? But one day, He'll come finally. That'll be His final coming. He'll come literally, physically. We'll see Him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Are you listening to me this morning? Until He comes, I don't want anybody to miss any of His comings. Are you listening? When He comes, because He'll bring new grace. It'll be the grace that you need for your time, in your time that you're living, for your situation, your context, your condition. That will be the grace you need. And this morning, I pray that the Lord will open your eyes. I want you to say aloud with me, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open our eyes. Listen to me. All those of you who are sleeping, I want you to get up now. Let me tell you a story. In the Iraqi war, the last Iraqi war, when the Americans bombed Iraq, you remember the Americans went and bombed Iraq. Mad, crazy Americans. Now they want to bomb North Korea. Pray that it doesn't happen. The North Koreans are suffering. And if they bomb North Korea, lots of Christians are in camps. About 300 to a half a million Christians are in concentration camps. All those believers will die miserable deaths because of the stupid Trump administration. Pray that that doesn't happen. Pray that doesn't happen. But in the last war in Iraq, there were prisoners of war. And there are two things that they were doing. One, your final day could be in a firing squad, or there was a black door that you can go through. So there's this American, Iraqi general, calls a guy in, American soldier. He tells him, "Sir, what do you want to do? You want the firing squad or you want this black door?" American soldier looks at him, looks at his boots, thinks through his life. He says, "I'll take the firing squad." A few minutes later, the guns go off. He's dead. The general's assistant finally had the courage to ask the general, "Why the black door? What's beyond the black door?" The general said, "Only brave people walk through that door, because beyond the black door is freedom." The Americans settle for what they know. They know the firing squad. But if he took that black door, it was to his freedom. It would walk free. Many people in the house are like that. You're settling for what you know. You know the noise of the firing squad. But because you don't know the black door, you'll die. I'm telling you, there's hope this morning. Are you listening to me? You need to be the person that's saying, "Lord, give me this mountain. I'm going to take the black door because it takes me to freedom. New season, new grace." Are you listening? I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray right now. Join with me this morning. What do I see? I see they that are with us are greater than they that are against us. I see people being mobilized. I see people on a new release for Christ. I see people reaching out way beyond themselves. I see millionaires rising in this congregation. I see people of resource. I see evangelists. This morning, I see pastors, I see prophets, I see kings, kingly royalty arising from this congregation. This morning, I see CEOs, I see influential people, people touching the earth with the good news and hope of Jesus Christ. What do you see? I pray this morning that the Lord will open your eyes. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine design. You could have been anywhere in the world, but God chose for you and for us to be together this morning. Don't let age be your problem. Don't let color be your problem. Don't let money be your problem. Don't let education be your problem. Don't let your communication, I told you about myself, don't say I can't speak. Because God will give you the ability to communicate. He calls you to be the most articulate in your family. Don't let your gender be a problem. Don't say, I'm a lady, I'm too old, I'm too young, you don't know what my sin is. Don't let sin be a problem. Because where there is much sin, God gives more grace. He'll forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So raise those hands right now. I want to pray over you. Father in heaven, we've come here for a specified time. This is a specific time. Forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Give me new faith, new obedience, to cause my life to be aligned with the eternal realms in the heavens, with the eternal Christ, with His Word. Cause us, Father, to see what You are doing, to see where You are taking us. Cause us to see way into tomorrow and into the future. Cause us to place our faith in You alone. You are Lord of the church. You are the greatest. There's none like You. Who can compare with Your wisdom and Your excellence? None. Who can compare with Your beauty? None. Today, Lord, we surrender. We submit to Your authority. We submit to Your kingship. Your Savior, Your Lord, and Your King. We today make ourselves Your subjects. We say, do what You have to do. We say today, Lord, remove the scales from our eyes. Give us clarity of vision. Help us to hear clearly. And we say, Lord, in the words of that old hymn, Lord, while others You are passing, do not pass me by. Visit, Lord. Visit me. Because I know You'll give me new grace. You'll usher in a new season. So that I'll be able to say, like Caleb at 80, give me this mountain. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for what You're doing in the Spirit. Thank You for eternal transactions taking place now. Father, speak to Your children, Your sons and daughters. Speak to this congregation this morning. Raise up a mighty army, Father. People who love You. People who serve You. People who worship You. People who give You highest priority, highest place. And remove everything else. Cause the people in this congregation to have wisdom. Let them be 10 times better than the best. I declare excellence in this place. We pray for all of our children. Pray for all of the learners and students. Let them pass well. Let them just not do well. Let them excel, Father, way beyond their own dreams and expectations. Father, raise up our children. Every child in this congregation, every student, every learner, let them excel, be outstanding. Thank You for that. I ask, Lord, for those that are looking for jobs, new jobs, those that need increases, new salaries, unexpected funding, unexpected resources, unexpected finances, new grace, Lord. New grace, because we're in a new season. We trust this, Father. We're going to seal this in Your Word and in Your blood. New businesses will arise. New connections. New favor. Favor upon favor, Lord. Favor upon favor. Favor upon favor. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Father, as Your servant, I decree this thing. I decree this thing over this congregation. Over every person, Father. There'll be no person with lack, no person with deficiency, no person with weakness, no person with failure this morning. All of them will excel. They'll go way beyond because your word says, and I decree this, we shall be the head and not the tail. We shall be above and not beneath. We shall be lenders and not borrowers. I decree this across this congregation. For every person, young and old, male and female, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. We call it forth now. We call forth a people that are prosperous. We call forth a people that are devoted to Christ. We call forth a people who can say like Caleb, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. We call forth a people that are crazy about Jesus. They're crazy about Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.